Praise God. We're going to look in the Word of God for a few moments this morning and look at something a couple months ago, or last month, I guess it was, at a ministerial meeting, and Brother Richard, remember this one. They had a short 10-minute video. I don't know who the fellow was. Never saw him before, never heard of him since. But anyway, he drew something on the board, and then we had a time of discussion after. And ever since then, I've been thinking about, you know, this would be good to put into a message somewhere, just, you know, put it together and build a sermon around it. So it might never be what he said, but at least it'd be something to get us thinking. And I don't know what he called it, but the thought that came from me, came to me, I should say. Thank you, sir. Good man. Appreciate that, Dave. And the thought that came to me was that he was talking about how to fill, or what fills your tank. This is what he kept asking the congregation, so I don't know if that's the name of the sermon or not. We only saw an excerpt from the sermon. But what fills your tank? And we're going to look at a few things this morning. And but before we do, let's look in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. Solomon says here, he said, "My son, give attention to my words, and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23 is what I want us to sort of use as a kickoff point here this morning. He said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it," out of your heart, "spring all the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left." He said, "Remove your foot from evil." But back in verse 23 again, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it," out of your heart, "flow all the issues of life." Everything that happens to us, everything that we go through, has got a direct correlation to how we keep our hearts. And it's very important that we know how to keep our hearts. So we're going to bow together and ask God's direction as we look at this for a few moments, and see how the Holy Spirit leads us. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God again. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We believe, Lord, that this is God's Word, not just a book about God, but this is God's Word. And Father, as we look into it this morning, we pray that you would direct our thoughts, direct our understanding, and may we see things in this, Lord, that we can put into practice in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be not just hearers of the Word, but to be doers also. So, Father, we give you praise, we give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The easy read version for that Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life." Now, as I said, we're calling this "What Fills Your Tank." I mean, you can put any name on it, but we're going to draw a tank, so that's why we're going to stay on that same theme. But you can say, you know, what fires you up? What turns your crank, so to speak? You know, like some people say, well, whatever floats your boat. You know, whatever term you want to put on it. What is it that really gets you going in the morning? What is it that excites you and inspires you and gets you to a place that you want to do something? We've all been to places where we've had passion for something and we get all excited about something, but we all realize too that after a while, the excitement dies down. I had a book years ago, and written by Chuck Swindoll, I think it was, and he said, "The honeymoon is over." That was the name of the book. You know, what happens when the honeymoon is over? What happens when all the passion is gone? What happens? Now, we're not talking about marriage here today, so don't get nervous if you're married and in problems. But anyway, we're going to look at some different things here this morning about what is it that gets us going? What causes us to come alive and be excited about life? Another couple of verses I wanted to read first. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. God's Word translation says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the wits of another." Philippians 4:8, we quote this verse quite often, Philippians 4 and 8 in the New King James says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You want to have an easy life, God tells us He wants to think about. You know? And you start thinking about other things, you're going to make it difficult on yourself. God even tells us what we should be thinking about. So we're going to draw something here. Now I got markers that probably never work. They're out in the back, and I had to wash this down. I had something left on here from a Bible study a few months ago, and it was hard to get off, so I had to wash all that down, and the markers are not all that bright anymore. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Okay, this is our tank. We're going to call this our emotional tank. As I said, Brother Richard would probably do a better job on this tonight. He was there at the same time, and we had a good discussion after this. I got my you know, wheels churning up here. But anyway, in this tank, we're going to draw an arrow here. Coming into here, all the good things that come into your life. Okay, this is our fill. But also down here on the bottom, we have a drain going out. Now, in life, you know well as I do that if you are always giving out all the time, always working, always doing something, and never relaxing, never taking anything in, pretty soon you're going to drain yourself dry. How many's ever been to that? You know, sometimes we call it burnout. We get to a place where we just don't have the energy to do anything anymore. The problem is we're putting out too much down here and not taking enough in up here. Now, it's not that we're wrong that we're doing anything down here, but it's just that we're not refilling ourselves up here, replenishing the supply. And if we don't replenish the supply, we're going to burn ourselves out. There's some noticeable stages. This is what the guy was explaining. Now, I might not have them all the way that he had it, but I jotted down a few notes as he was doing it, so this is where I came from. But there's some noticeable areas that what takes place when we start to drain out more than we're taking in, they have different stages, different alarms, he called them, that we can notice in our lives. Number one is anxiety. Did he hit a nail? Anxiety. When we get anxious about something, we get very touchy. Now, here's something a bit better. These stages that we go through here, you might not notice them yourself, but I guarantee you, your family notices them. Your friends will notice them. You know, your church people are going to notice them. And so we get to this anxiety stage, and as I said, we get pretty touchy with things. People say something, and we lash back at them before we even think. And sometimes we think, well, why did I do that? What brought that on? You know, we're nervous about things. We can't sleep at night, and our minds are just churning 100% of the time. Anybody ever go through that? We all have. We get to a place, you know, where we burn ourselves out that way. And then if we don't do something then, if we don't start refilling here or else slowing down the drain right here, we're going to go to a different stage. And down here we come into an emotional breakdown. You might not be able to read it all, but you can get what I'm getting at. An emotional breakdown. And when you come into an emotional breakdown, you just lose all desire to do anything. Your drive to get out and work, or your drive to do anything, it just comes to a place that you've got nothing left to give, and you come to a situation where you figure, well, I'd rather just stay in bed today. Anybody ever go through that one? You know? So we come into this emotional breakdown. We lose concern for everything. We lose our energy. Sometimes we call it a burnout. A lot of pastors go through burnout sometimes because they're just constantly giving out and counseling all the time and listening to problems all the time, and eventually get to the place where if they're not filling in up here, this is going to drain the life out of you. You know. So we all need to understand this. So when we go through this one here, we don't know how to cope with life's problems. But then we get down, if we don't do something here and don't again, don't stop to drain here or else refill right here. We're going to come down to a nervous breakdown. And when you come into a nervous breakdown, you usually end up in the hospital, first stage. You end up in the hospital, you're delusional, you don't understand what's going on anymore, you're not connected with life anymore, because you've totally drained your emotional tank. Does that make sense? There's times when we all go through this. But see, we need to understand that we have to keep refilling, replenishing all the time. Because if we don't, this is going to constantly drain the life out of us. Now, you can have a good drain right here as long as you've got a good fill coming in here. You can keep counseling, you can keep helping, you can keep doing everything you want to do as long as you've got a good supply coming in here. But the minute you lose the supply right here, pretty soon you're going to drain yourself down and down and down. You know, I remember first when we came here, I used to, every Tuesday night for, I don't know, for a year or so, I would leave and I would drive to Toronto and I'd go to a church service up there. I would just sit into the service. They had a Tuesday night service, big congregation. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't know who they were. I mean, I knew who the church was, but I didn't know anybody in the church. I'd go in and I'd just sit down and I'd just drink it all in. To worship and everything else, I just stay there and just drink it in. And you can almost feel like yourself being charged up. A little while ago, we had an update on my cell phone. This has changed the subject, but still on the same subject. We had an update on the cell phone. And because of the update on the cell phone, now anybody knows anything about cell phones. Some of you probably haven't got a clue what I'm talking about here. But anyhow, there are different apps on there. And all those apps had to be updated to, you know, work with this new update. And I could plug my phone in nighttime, wake up the next morning, pull the plug on it, look at it, and she's only half charged, you know. And I said, well, what in the world's going on with the phone? You know, and then you start using it, and by noon or so, all of a sudden, the battery's dead. And I said, this never happened before, you know. And so I went online to see what's going on with this situation, and everybody's complaining about it. They said, there's this new update that's gone, all the apps got to update, and the phones are just churning all the time. You know, behind the scenes, just churning all the time and draining the battery. Well, a lot of times our life is like that. There's things going on behind the scenes that we don't see sometimes that's just draining the life out of us. Draining every, just zapping or sapping, you know, the energy from you. Just, you can feel it drain. Sometimes somebody comes into the house, comes into your room, comes into where, you know, goes for a ride with you in the car, and all of a sudden you feel the energy just being drained out of you. I'm not going to ask if your husband or wife did that, but anyway. But we all go through situations where we feel that drain that takes the energy right from us. So we need to understand that these different stages that we go through. Now, a lot of companies, a lot of corporations understand this. And ever so often, especially if they're a good company, if they've got concern for their employees and everything else, ever so often they would take their employees and they send them to a conference or a seminar or something to upgrade their skills, to give them a new way of seeing things or whatever the case might be. And to do that, doctors do this. I was talking to Darren, our in-house doctor, and he was in Newfoundland there a couple weeks ago, and he texted me from Newfoundland with a picture of an iceberg there. But they were down there on a conference because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And what that means is, you know, if you're a doctor or a carpenter or whatever the case might be, you need other people that are in the same wavelength, the same line of work, to encourage you to understand where you're coming from, and you can learn together. And I remember, this is probably a stupid example, just crossed my mind, never had this to say, but when we were in Newfoundland, I started playing guitar when I was in church, about 11 years old. And I had a guitar. Mom sent away to Eaton's catalog and got a guitar for me. And I started playing guitar, and 11 days after, I was playing in church. You know how good the music was. But anyway, 11 days after, we're playing in church. And I just learned on my own. Never had anybody teach me. I just learned on my own. And I knew some basic chords and things like this. But I find that when you get together with other people, like we meet together here every Wednesday night, and we practice together and stuff like this, and we're playing something, and somebody said, there should be a minor chord goes in there. Now, I got to be truthful. First, when we started this, I thought, oh, boys, give up on the minors. You know, if anybody knows anything about playing music or on guitar especially, the minors are a nuisance, you know, and hard to get your fingers wrapped around and everything else. But now that we're, you know, because iron sharpens iron, and now as we're playing it, All of a sudden, I can pick it up myself. There's a minor goes here somewhere. Something goes right here somewhere. And so we've learned to develop one another, to help each other to develop. And this is what he's talking about. Iron sharpens iron. So you need other people around you of like understanding that can understand where you're coming from and understand what you're going through, and then be able to encourage you and help you to grow and help you to mature and develop in certain areas. So a lot of corporations do that, send their employees away. A lot of denominations will send their pastors away. When we were in Newfoundland with a denomination, we would have a conference every year, and we'd have two seminars every year, you know, and that was paid for by the church, and they would send their pastors away, and they were very concerned about that the pastors would keep themselves charged up, because if not, you drain yourself out, and if you don't fill yourself up again, pretty soon you're going to run into problems. And over the years, I've seen a lot of pastors, I've seen a lot of ministers, and I'm not saying I'm super spiritual, but I've seen a lot of people that have come down here and eventually just drain themselves dry. And sometimes, you know, we have a negative feeling about that. We say, oh, you know, well, they're just cracked. You know, they just burned out. You know, no, we need to understand that these are good, legitimate people that sometimes have just given out so much that they never had a chance to refill. So we need to take that time to refill ourselves and get our batteries charged back up again. As long as you get a good charge in your battery, you can keep, you know, your cell phone working. You can keep your life working as long as you keep yourself filled. Same thing as your gas tank. I mean, if you fill up your gas tank, I mean, everybody knows it looks good when you look at your gas and it's up on full. You know, but you can't go on forever like that. You know, you drive for a while, that hand starts going down. You know, and eventually you're going to have to, you know, refill again. And this is what life is like. We have to constantly be refilling ourselves. And, you know, for different people, there's different things. And I want you to take a piece of paper. I should have got you to do this. I should have had a piece of paper for everybody. But what I want you to do is take that piece of paper. I'll start right here so you can do. Go like this. And what I want you to do is mark down on this here. Fill and drain. That is a little different message than usually. We don't do teaching these Sunday mornings. Okay, fill and drain. And on this side right here, the fills, I want us to write down everything that excites you, everything that encourages. And it could be a number of different things here. What is it? Each one of us, we're individually different. And what fills your tank might never fill mine. Okay? In other words, what is it that really gives you a spark in life and causes excitement in your life? I told you a story one time before. I heard a fellow telling about his son. Well, I'll do this while you're passing papers and getting ready. I heard a fellow telling a story about his son. He said he would say to his son, we're going to get up tomorrow morning and we got to go out and they had a farm. And he said, we're going to put a fence around the farm and we, you know, work at some different things. And his son was 12 years old. And his son, he said he had to drag him out of the bed every morning. He did not want to go to work at the, you know, the fence and everything else. So he said, 7 o'clock in the morning, he said he'd be, you know, trying to get him out of bed. Come on, John, get up. It's time to get to work. And he said he just could not get the young fellow excited about it. But he said the weekend came. He said, John, he said, we worked all week. He said, I think he said we'd take Saturday. He said, we'd go fishing. And he said, John was all excited about fishing. He said, 5 o'clock in the morning, he's up knocking on his bedroom door. Dad, you up yet? See, because that was something that gave him a spark in life. That was something that he was excited about. So a lot of times, what excites one person might not excite another person. What charges your batteries might never charge mine. You understand that? So on this side right here, on the fill side, write down whatever it is that excites you, whatever inspires you, whatever that gives you that push in life to get up and do something. Maybe, you know, it's some people just like to rest. You know, some people like just reading a good book. Whatever it is, might be. Anybody got any idea what else you could put on this side right here? Give me some feedback. Fishing. Okay, anything else? Chocolate. Anyone else? Shopping. Men love that. Family. Anything else? Golfing. Okay, let's put down sports because I can guarantee you hockey is going to come up. Sports. Anything else? Church. That should be up top. Anything else? I got sport. That's why I put sports here, because I knew hockey was going to come up. Trip, travel. Okay. Travel. Every day. Life. Every day. Okay. What? Oh, gardening. I thought you said parking. Okay, gardening. I gotta say, no, it's the wrong list. Pampering people. Okay. Well, you get the idea anyway. Okay, so mark on your own list on what fills your tank. What is it that really gives you excitement in life? What is it, some hobby that you have, some desire that you have, that if you do it, you just feel like you're, man, this is what I needed. Anybody ever go through that? This is exactly what I needed. You know, sometimes you go for a restaurant, you're going around, looking around sometime, and you think, man, what am I going to eat for supper? And you go into the place late, and you say, oh, that hit the spot. You know? So what is it that hits the spot in your life that really, really, really gives you that boost? Okay? Now, nothing sinful. Okay? Get that straight. We're not... yeah. This is good stuff. Wholesome stuff. That's partially sinful. Okay? So, you get the idea what fails. Okay, let's go... What is it that drains your life? Negative people. Complainers. Okay, we leave that one with negative people. Because, well, let's put it in, complaining. Anything else? Work. Sickness. Iron. Anything else? Housework. Insomnia. Anything else? What is it that we're going into some of the things here. What kind of activities, let's look at it that way, what kind of activities really drains you? See, insomnia is and some of these things are results of the drain, but what is it that causes the drain? Vacuuming. Well, we leave that one to housework there. Finances, okay. Financial problems, say. What about unresolved issues in your life? Nobody got them? Depression? Okay, that would probably come over here with depression right here. But anyway, you can fill in your own list, okay? Unforgiveness. Now, this is kind of one to one. Okay, problems that you can't find an answer to. You know, these things drain our lives, drain the energy from us. And we get to the place that if the outgo is greater than the inflow, you're going to be in problems. That's like a priest of message one time. I said, the good thing about a church is like family. Bad thing about a church is like a family. So whichever way you look at it, you know, you got a good man in the family. But as I say, like if we get to the place that we drain ourselves so much and we don't refill ourselves, this emotional tank is going to go down lower and lower and lower. And I can guarantee you, as I said earlier, and I know we joke about it, but it's true, you might not notice it in your own life. Sometimes you just feel like, oh man, I just don't have the strength to lift my feet anymore. You know, you might not, but your friends are going to notice it. Your family's going to, your spouse is going to notice it. One of the first ones that notices it is your spouse. You know, and because when we start getting anxious, when we start getting to this place where we're very touchy, and if we don't do something about it, we're going to get down here, all of a sudden we don't have energy to do anything, then we're going to get down here where we have a total breakdown, totally burned out, don't even know who we are sometimes. And we got to be very careful about that. We got to keep refilling our tanks. Now, we need to know what it is individually. Now, I know you probably wrote down the things that I put down up here, but what is it in your life? What is it that really, really, really helps you to gain strength again and get refocused in life? Now, we, at the ministerial that day, we went around to, it's probably 15 or 20 of us, the same day we came over and did this strawberry social thing at the church there. And just throw this in, if you weren't here Wednesday night, we had a great strawberry social. Great strawberry social. And you missed out on it. Anyway, let's get back to the message. But we went around, the ministerial went around that room that day, and we start talking about what is it that really charges our batteries. Now, doesn't have to be something spiritual in regards to, you know, Bible reading and stuff like that. And thank God we need that. Don't misunderstand. I'm not belittling that at all. I'm just talking about in everyday life activities. You know, I know some of you, I know what charges your batteries. I know what charges my batteries. You know, some of you would just do anything to go on a fishing trip. Right? That charges his batteries. You know, and for myself, now this might sound weird to you. Exactly. Driving. If you told me today, listen, we want to go to Vancouver tomorrow, and we need somebody to drive. Man, you're just hitting me right on the right where I want to be. I could drive you to wherever until you reach. You got to get on a boat somewhere. You know, to me, I just love driving. I love Pat knows this. I love listening to preaching. I'll go on the internet. I don't care who they are. You know, as long as it's not somebody way out there somewhere, I'll take something on a memory stick, stick it in the van, and I go for a drive and just listen to somebody preaching. And to me, that's like going on a holiday. That charges my batteries more than anything else. You know? As I said, a few years ago, I used to go up every Tuesday night. We'd go up to Toronto, and I just sit down. Nobody knew a thing. Sometimes I sit there like this, like Earl was talking about, you know, you not wanting to be there. Sometimes, well, I can't say I didn't want to be there, but just not taking part in anything. I was just sitting there like this, but I was just drinking in. You know, they sing something, and, you know, after a while, you feel the Holy Spirit just starting to minister to you and starting to recharge your batteries. And we need to do that. You know, one way for Christians, I will get a bit spiritual right now. One way for Christians, and this is why the devil fights us so much, one way for Christians to charge their batteries is reading God's Word. And I can guarantee you, you know as well as I do, that the devil will fight that probably more than anything else. Reading God's Word and prayer. There's times, listen, I'm the pastor, I've got to do it. You know, we had a cousin one time, first we went to ministry, she said, Steve, I pity you. I said, why? She said, well, she said, we can get lazy now in our Christian walk. She said, but you can't anymore. You know, you've got to do something. You know, but there's times I've got to make myself take the Bible and just take some time and just get alone with God. I've got to make myself take some time and pray some time. Now, there's sometimes it just flows so easy. You know, you think, how does this ever get heard? But then there's other times you think, man, you know, you talk to God and God says, who are you? Where you come from? You know, that's what it feels like. Because, you disconnect. So we need to get to the place that we need to understand that we got to constantly be recharging ourselves, replenishing that supply. Because if we don't, we're going to run into problems. So what is it that charges your tank? Just take a minute or two, just write down a couple things that really, some activity, some hobby, some thing, just mark it down on your list there. And if you got these already on there, just put a stroke under them and continue on with your own. What is it that charges your tank? Ask yourself this if you're saying, well, how do I figure it out? Here's a couple questions to ask yourself. What am I doing that really charges my batteries? Really, you know. Who am I with when I feel at my best? Who is it that in your life that really encourages you? Really, I'm not talking about some bad thing. I'm talking about people that really lift you up and say, listen, you've got a future. You can do something for God. You know, God's got a plan for your life. And somebody is going to lift you up and give you something to look forward to. Who is it that really, when you're down and out, that, man, you know it, if you just talk to them, they're going to build you back up again. Who is it? You know, so this is, you know, where am I when I feel the most charged up? Where am I? What am I doing? And when is it that I feel most alive? Okay, let's move on to the other side, the drains. Okay, now mark down on the other side there, what is it that you just absolutely detest? That really you just don't want to have anything to do with? That just drains the life out of you just thinking about it? What is it? Put it on that side. This is you personally now. Put it on the other side, the drains. Sometimes, you know, if you're really overwhelmed in life and you're drained all the time, sometimes you don't even know what causes it. You know, you're not conscious of what is happening there. All we know is that we're drained. But if we can get to the place that we understand where that drain or what's causing that drain, it'll be a great start to help us replenish ourselves. See, because once everything is replenished, life is exciting. You wake up every day. I mean, you're just longing to take on a new day. Because the Bible talks about in Ephesians rather, chapter 4, it talks about being filled with the fullness of God. That we can be filled with the fullness of God. So if we can get to the place where we have the fullness of God, our emotions are in the right area, where you know, there's a good balance between what's going out and what's coming in, you can live a good, happy life. But if you're always down here, you're going to drain yourself and you're going to drain everyone else that comes around you. No one likes, I keep telling you this over and over, no one likes being around negative people. No one likes being around negative people. You know, if you see a negative person coming, I can guarantee you, if you're negative and you're walking in somebody's driveway, somebody's looking out your window and says, oh my, here they come again. You know, they walk into the room and it seems like somebody flicked the switch off. You know, they just zap the life out of you. What is it that really drains you? Here's a couple questions to help you to fine-tune that and tune in on it. Are you avoiding or neglecting some area of your life? Something that needs to be done. Are you avoiding or neglecting some area of your life? And it could be anything. It could be from something serious. It could be something simple. It could be a trip to the doctor. I'll be okay. Or maybe you got to, I hate to say this because this is true for me for sure. Maybe you got a cluttered up garage. And you think, every time you rise the door, you say, man, I got to get in there one of these days and straighten that out. Anybody else go through that? Or your basement, or your car, or your truck, or whatever else. You got so much clutter, you don't know what to do with it. One of these days, I'm going to get at that. Maybe it's cleaning out your closet for some of you women. Doing some ironing. Maybe it's a family member you're supposed to call. Maybe there's an on-return phone call that you're supposed to make. And you just push it off, and you push it off, and you push it off. Let me tell you something. Everything you push off has got a way of draining. Anything that's not resolved has got a way of draining you. What is it that you're worrying about all the time? Or what is it that you're trying not to think about? All these things, even though we think we're not thinking about them, we're thinking about them. They're draining us. Everything undone or incomplete in life drains us. Now, you got that written down. We're going to move on because I'm going to finish up in a few minutes. We need to develop some strategies to keep the fill coming in, keep replenishing ourselves, and to slow this snare down. Okay? We need to develop strategies to keep ourselves replenished and to keep the drain slowed down. Because if we can bring more in here than we're going out here, we're doing great. How many know that works with your checkbook, your bank account? You know, governments haven't learned that, yet they still spend more than they make, more than they bring in. But we understand, although we're not always good at it, we understand if we're putting out more than we're bringing in, that's a recipe for disaster. You understand that? You know, in our finances or anything else. Okay, number one, here's what we need to do. Jot those down on the back piece of the paper, whatever. These are strategies that we need to use in order to replenish the tank and slow down the drain. Number one, you need to have a no strategy. You need to have a no, N-O, put that in quotation if you want to. You need to have a quotation, no strategy. Now, what I mean by that, you need to know when to say no. You need to be able to say no to certain situations. You need to say no to certain events that are going on. Sometimes you have to say no to people. And I tell you one thing, one of the quickest ways to drain your tank is never being able to say no. Oh, I want this done at the house. Can you come over and do that for me? Yeah, okay. Although you got five other things to do too. Well, you know, can you take me here? I need to, you know, go to this place. Can you take me? Okay. You know, pretty soon you're going to drain yourself so much. You got to learn how to say no to certain issues, certain people, certain times, certain events. Learn to say no in order to stop the depletion. Number two, you need a reorder your relationship strategy. You need a reorder your relationships strategy. Ask yourself, who do I need to be around that's going to charge me up, that's going to build me up? Who are the people that inspire me? What are the things that charge me up? You know, I've seen over the years in ministry, and any pastor can tell you this, any minister can tell you this, people come to church, and don't misunderstand, and don't take this in a negative sense, because we love to see you come to church. But people come to church when they're going through a struggle, going through a problem, going through a difficulty. And the minute God starts changing things around their lives and things start getting balanced out and they get their focus straight again and they're starting to replenish their tank again, all of a sudden they stop this fill of coming to church and they just drain themselves out again and they come back 6 months later and they're down here. Right? We need to continually fill, and going to church, being around godly people, listening to preaching, listening to teaching, being to Bible studies, listening to worship music, whatever, these are going to fill your tank. But a lot of people start filling their tank and say, man, I'm so glad I came back to church. I'm so glad everything is starting to grow again. And then they said, well, I think I can do without going for one Sunday. And that's a trick of the devil. This is just as bad as an alcoholic saying, well, you know, I haven't drank in the last 35 years, but one is not going to hurt. And you fellows that are in AA know the danger that's in that. You can't do that. You understand that? You can't stop the replenishment, because the minute you stop that, you're going to go down here again. And then you get mad at the pastor. Go to church, nothing happening there. Listen, sometimes you need to come to church a few times before you even start to see the scale start to change. You ever, not so much now because mostly self-service at gas tanks, but sometimes I used to love being in the car when they were filling up a tank, you know, years ago when they had somebody do it for you, and all of a sudden you see the hand, you know, they pump for 2 or 3 minutes, nothing happened, and all of a sudden the hand jump. Say, okay, start to register now. Well, sometimes church is like that. You come to church and say, I never got nothing out of that, never got a thing out of it. But after a while, if you stay around it for a while, all of a sudden the hand will jump, you know, and you start to see yourself being filled again. You understand that? I don't know if it makes sense or not. But you need to have you need to have a reorder your relationship strategy. Who are the people that deplete me? Down here, who are the people that drains the life out of me every time I talk to them? Some of you are smiling because I'm not asking you to write down a name. Well, maybe you can on your own paper. I listened to a fellow preach one time, and he was telling a story. He said, this fellow stood about a bridge. He's about to commit suicide. He's ready to jump. And he said, this fellow's coming along the road. He said, oh, no, don't jump. He said, let me talk to you for a minute. And he said, he climbed up on the bridge, and he got up there with him, and he sat down, and he said, for 2 hours, talk to him. After 2 hours, both of them jumped in. Because they drain the life out of you. You know, they depress you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's the New King James. Contemporary English version says, don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. You can't get much clearer than that. Some people say, I can't understand the Bible. Can't get any clearer than that. Don't let anyone deceive you. Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. That's the God's Word translation. Romans 16 and verse 17 says this. Paul says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And he said, avoid them. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Note the people that are gossiping all the time. Note the people that are always causing problems, always arguing, always causing strife. Avoid them. I mean, God is telling us to do that. Number three, you need a reorder your priorities strategy. Reorder your priorities strategy. For the Christian, number one should be God. Okay, and until you get God as number one in your life, you're going to mess with life and be messed up in life. God has got to hold number one spot. Then comes your family, your health, your job, your career, your hobbies, whatever. But you've got to get that straight. And the way to tell if you're putting God first or not, if Wednesday night comes and you'd rather go playing golf instead of come to church, you know where your priorities are. You understand that? God's got to be number one. So you need to reorder your priorities. You need to exercise. We all love that. Exercise would be great, but I find it so boring. You ever go through that? You know? Some people just love, I know Brother Richard. He loves on the bike, going bicycle. You know? That charges your batteries. I was at a conference up in Ottawa a few years ago, and they're doing personality concepts and different things, and we're training in that. And they went around the table and just asked, basically what we're asking here, I guess, the different words, I don't even know what words they use now, but they use different words. And the instructor, he's from the States, but he had a, you know, we were there for 3 days and he knew a bit of our personalities by that time. And he went around and he said to one fellow, he said, I guarantee you, he said, you love fishing. And Buddy just looked at him almost like he read his mind. He said, that's true. And he went around, and I remember when he came to me, and I thought, well, see what he's going to say about me. And he said, Steve, and now we had a little card in front of us of color because of different personality types. And he said, I look at you, he said, you would love to go for a drive right now, wouldn't you? I said, buddy, it's right on. It's almost like they could read your mind. Because we all have different personalities, and what charges your batteries might drain mine overnight. You know? But you need to get around people that's going to charge your batteries. You need to get around activities that are going to build you up. And don't, now, let me say this. But again, we got to get our priorities straight. God's got to be first. You might love fishing or bicycling or hockey or golf or anything else, but if that comes before God, it's wrong. You know, whatever our hobby is, whatever our desire is, whatever it is that charges our batteries, if that takes the place of God, we got priorities wrong. Get your priorities straight. God will allow that to be a wonderful asset in your life. But you got to put him first. Number four, you need a removal strategy. Sometimes creating your best life has more to do with what you remove from it than what you add to it. You get that? Sometimes charging your batteries might have more to do with what you remove from your life than what you add to it. There's things sometimes that we got ourselves all caught up in and involved in that we need to just leave it alone because it's just draining us. Close the door on that. Close. Turn the tap off down here. The things that are draining you. And lastly, you need a fill-up strategy. And we've been talking about it all day anyway. So what is it that charges you? What is it that really fills up your life and gives you something worth living for? What people, what events, what activities? What is it that really charges your batteries? Now, we've gone long, so we're going to finish up. But here's something for you. This is what the guy suggested on the video that we saw at the hospital. As I said, now, I've got a lot more there than what he had on that video. He just had one little story he told about his wife, him and his wife. But when he started writing the different things, I think all of us, we start talking about it, man, this would be good to put into a message somewhere, But here's something. You just wrote down, what is it that really, in your personal life, your personal space, what is it that charges my batteries? What is it that drains my batteries? Now, this is going to take a step of faith. Now, some of you, we'll come into that in a minute. But if you're married and here this morning, swap papers with your wife, your husband. And let them use that for the next month to pray for you. Lord, this is the thing that excites her. This is the thing that really helps her to appreciate life. Lord, this is the thing that really gets him fired up about living and fired up about the family or whatever. These are the things that he needs to charge his battery. These are the things that she needs to charge her battery. And pray about it and ask God to help you in the next month to do some of these things for your spouse. And that's a step of faith. And you're saying, Pastor, you're doing pretty good for a while, but now you just ruined everything. And if you're here and you're single and you don't have a spouse with you or whatever the case, don't feel that you're off on your own. Take it and make it a prayer list and say, God, help me to get my life rearranged that I do what I need to do, and I stop what I need to stop doing, and God, help me to get my batteries charged again. Help me to get to the place where my life is exciting again, and I got the passion back, and got desire back, and I can face life and not have to run from everything all the time. Praise God. Let's stand together. We're going to just finish up. We've gone a bit long. Don't leave your paper at church. Take it with you. And don't hide it from your spouse. Praise God. You know, you fellows are a wonderful bunch of people, honestly. I've told you this a dozen times before, and I guess Richard would probably say the same thing to his church. If I had a choice of any church in Napanee, I'd choose you fellows. You're precious. We love each one of you. And even though sometimes you drive us crazy, I'm sure we drive you crazy at times too. But we love you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, again, we just pause, Lord, to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for life. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for families. Thank you for church, Lord. Fellow believers, church family. God, we just thank you for all the good things that you pour into our lives. Lord, in the midst of life, sometimes, Lord, we just allow things to drain us. And not bad things necessarily, Lord, but just things that we do too much. And it just drains the life out of us. And Father, we've got nothing to give back to you, to give to our families, to give to our church, to give to life itself. So, Father, we're asking, Lord, you would help us to rearrange our priorities. Get our focus right, Lord, to be able to say no to the things we need to say no to. Yes to the things we need to say yes to. Father, help us to replenish the tank and to stop that outflow. Father, we just ask that you be with us today as we leave this place. We go, Lord, into life again outside these doors. Father, just guide us and direct us. Let your presence be round about us. God, we declare your blessings upon each one of us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.